everyone. I'm Jen.
I'm Anthony, and this is Bottom Bracket Biking Podcast.
A couple's guide to biking. Hello, and welcome to episode 18.
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about fat biking, but first, Jen, I have a new name for our entire podcast.
But we have a name.
Well, okay, not a new name, but an abbreviation that we all can agree on.
Okay, let's hear it.
Bobobye! You don't...
What now?
Bobobye.
Bobobye. Why can't we just call it B3?
Because, that's not cool. We can't call it BBB because that,
That's the Better Business Bureau?
Yeah, right?
We're not the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, crap, it'd be Bobobye. We'll figure it out, okay?
Okay, guys, we have a new name, maybe.
No, we have an abbreviation, so that way we can talk about it without a giant mouthful of bottom bracket biking.
Well, you just said that fine.
That's not bad. All right, we'll stick with it. And I want to talk about my ride today.
How'd your ride go?
Well, it went great. 2 hours in 20-degree weather, except when I went to take a shower, I noticed my legs were red in odd spots, and I almost got frostbite.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm really bad at layering. I'm glad we had a professional in for that.
Hey, you have gotten better at it.
Yeah, I've gotten a little bit better. But what are we talking about today?
We are talking, well, kind of going off of what you just said, we're talking about riding in snow and snow grooming.
Yeah, because last weekend we did that for about 3 days straight.
3 rides in 2 days is what I had, so yeah.
Yeah, and I groomed the trails the night, one of those nights.
Oh yeah, that's right. So you, for you it was 3 days.
Yep, but part of the reason why we wanted to talk about that is, what did you get?
New bike day! I got a new fat bike.
Yeah, you don't have to brag about it, but the reason was because we only had one, right?
Yeah, you know how all you lovely people probably thought we were crazy when we said that we were going to try sharing a fat bike? You were right!
Yeah, I heard someone say that the only bike you should share is a tandem, which, yeah, I agree with that now.
That sounds about right.
And, yeah, you got one because you have to have one to ride in the winter, right?
don't even go there. You guys missed the lovely look Anthony just got. No, you do not have to have a fat bike to ride in the winter, but if you're going to ride on snow, it does make it more enjoyable, at least in my experience.
Yeah, snow and ice especially, because you have a bigger tire track. Basically, if you live places where it's snowy for 4 months of the year, it might be a good thing to have.
If you live where it's not snowy like that, just imagine riding on sand, and it's relatively comparable.
Yeah, and it's also 20 degrees, and you got to watch out for frostbite and dying of cold.
Hey, this is not how much Anthony hates winter.
Okay, sorry.
So, to go over my bike very briefly, it is a 2019 Norco Bigfoot, which one of the things that I really like about it is I actually got to pick out the color. It's a gorgeous blue. But it also does really well in the snow. It has 4.8-inch tires. It also has a dropper post, which is something I wasn't thinking about when I went to get a fully rigid bike that I'm not planning on jumping.
You're not going to full send that thing on a dirt jump track?
You know, it's aluminum, so I could do it and not think it was going to die, but I can't imagine it would be that pleasant.
Yeah, so it's kind of odd. Why would you need a dropper post on a bike like that? And the reason is because on a bike like that, you're going through really hard conditions that you might have to get off and walk a lot, and you might not have good traction. Mm-hmm. So you're hopping on and off a lot. So lowering that dropper, or that post, can help a lot getting on and off all the time, which is why I encourage you to get that exact one.
Yeah, Anthony's fat bike does not have a dropper post on it, and he saw that on my bike, and I think, honestly, that was the thing that he was the most jealous of.
Yeah, I have to manually lower mine, which is fine. It's fine, like some kind of poor person.
Oh my goodness, be nice. You don't need a dropper. You were doing just fine.
So I guess the question is, since you've got it, has that helped at all for you? Have you ridden anything new that you wouldn't have otherwise?
So the first night that I had it, it was our typical Wednesday night ride, and we'd just gotten, I think I saw somewhere that it was 9 inches of snow. I've heard reports between 6 and 9 inches. So a decent amount of snow either way. And the trails were not groomed, and we attempted to go out and do our Wednesday night ride. There were 2 people besides us that showed up, so 4 people total. There was one guy who he didn't have a fat bike. He had plus tires, so they were like 3 inches wide. And he turned around like 10 feet into the trail. Just like, there is no way in heck this is going to be possible.
And I think, in my defense, because this is kind of the ride I put on,
mm-hmm.
there were reports that people had gone through, so they should be rideable.
Yes.
And the skill level of fat bike is a significant factor. I thought, you know, if you have a fat bike, you can go through anything. There's a good deal of skill in that, too.
Yeah, and that's honestly something that I learned that night, too. Because, so, the first guy turned around about 10 feet in, and I do not blame him. It looked miserable in those 10 feet. Then other person with us turned around, like, 100 yards in. And Jen, who was very excited because she had a new bike and wanted to go try this, was like, oh, yeah, we can keep pushing. It'll get easier, right? Fun fact, it didn't get easier. And the hardest part of continuing was honestly that people had walked through the trail. And that's something that I didn't expect to have an issue with. I actually thought that might be easier to ride through because they packed through some of the snow.
Yeah, when people walk through, even on light, fluffy stuff, it packs it down. And so you end up running over these bumps, essentially, of packed down snow between sections of not packed down snow.
Well, and it was deep enough that it actually was like redirecting my tire direction. And so I was really struggling to keep going forward.
The night before we did this ride, I rode with a group that we plowed through some brand new snow together, and it was a nightmare.
Well, it was still snowing when you went out, right? So it was fresh.
It had stopped snowing about 20 minutes before.
So tell us about that, because that's a different fresh ride experience.
Yeah, and I think that really highlights the benefit of having a fat bike.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the day that it had snowed that 6 to 9 inches. Nice. And I decided to meet this group that was going out. They do it every Tuesday. And it was the first time I'd been on this ride, so I thought I'll just go ahead and bike down to the local Jethro's.
Well, this was your first time biking through fresh snow like that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so all around new experience.
And my reasoning was I would learn a lot about fat biking, mm-hmm. and I was right, but I think there could have been gentler ways to find out these things.
Anthony came back 3 hours later looking like someone had put him through the ringer.
Yeah, I ended up, I couldn't ride on the bike trail because there was too much snow. I had my pressure up at like 7 PSI.
Oh my goodness.
Which is like running your mountain bike at 100 PSI.
Yes.
It's just crazy. So I ended up taking the road just to get to the meeting point. When we set out, the leader had his pressure so low on his bike that his rim was darn near dragging on the ground. And I mean, that's not hyperbole. That's how low his tire pressure was.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of is the first thing that fat bikes do really well, is they can lower their pressure to basically zero.
I have had people tell me that I should be running 1 to 2 PSI because I am not a large person and apparently the bike can handle it.
Yeah, because you're not going to hit a curb if there's 6 inches of snow.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to not pinch flat. And so that's when I learned how to drop tire pressure low. And then we broke this trail. And then on the way back, my favorite story of the night, I was going so slow. There was a snowshoer that was walking with me. And I talked to him and I was telling him, I've never raced somebody snowshoeing before. I've never raced a walker. And he says, well, if you'd like, I can pick up the pace. And the feeling of being defeated after that was just incredible. But that illustrates how fast we weren't going. Which you can do on a fat bike because the contact area is so wide, it almost balances itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to go fast. You got a low pressure on the ground, and you have a ton of traction because you have so much ground contact.
Yeah.
There was no way we could have done that without the fat bikes that we had. A skinny tire bike would not have made it out of the parking lot.
So you were out for 3 hours. I know you weren't biking for all of that time, but how far did you go?
Oh, I think we went like 8 miles. Mm-hmm. 9 miles, maybe. And we stopped a couple times. But at 9 miles for 3 hours, you literally could have walked that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. But at the same point, I remember you pulling up your calories when you got back because I actually ended up making more food for Anthony because he was starving. And it was, what, 1,300 calories? 1,600 calories?
I think it was 13 because 600 an hour is pretty good for, you know, a good ride. Mm-hmm. So I think it was 1,300, and I'd done less than 2 hours, an hour and 45-minute moving time. So that's a lot. It's a good burn rate for 3 miles an hour.
Well, even like on a mountain bike, if I'm doing 9 miles, that's just a typical ride that's nothing special. So I think that also really illustrates just how hard you were going.
Yeah, it was one of those things where there was no way I could have done it any other way. And even though I was going so slow, if I wasn't in the shape I was in and couldn't ride the way I did, I would have just given up. It was brutal.
So the first ride out on my bike, we kept going. Normally we do end up with about an 8 mile loop on that ride. And I think we ended up doing maybe 2.25 maybe. Yeah. It was nowhere near to 8. And I was like dripping sweat. I was trying so hard.
Sexy.
It was not. And I think part of that, honestly, was just I was working so hard to balance at the same time. Normally you get on a bike and you go, and unless you're on some kind of sketchy stuff, you don't think about balance. But this is so much just, it was a full body workout.
And when I did my ride, there was so much walking and dragging my bike that when I got home, my shoulders and back were just beat for that exact reason. It's different. I recommend trying it.
The other really funny thing that I keep thinking about from my first ride is Anthony had told me to put my tire pressure low. I am a weenie about lowering tire pressure. I always get worried I'm going to put it too low. So I still probably had it at a shocking 4 PSI or something like that. But when we got onto the paved trail, it was low enough that I think I wasn't pedaling perfectly smoothly. So the bike actually started like bouncing itself up and down a little bit. It's like, holy crap, I thought I bought a bike, not a trampoline.
Did you jump?
I did jump.
Did you send it?
I did not send it, but the bike was just like going up and down. And I'm like, I feel like I'm in a baby carriage right now. This is weird.
What happens when you got 3 PSI, 3 pressure in your tire?
Yeah. So that was the first ride.
And when we got back, what did we see?
So we had somebody who was coming out that night to groom the trails.
Uh-huh.
And it actually worked out really well because Anthony had groomed that trail before and was able to go over just a couple details with the person who was doing it that night. So we got to watch him go off into the darkness on his sled of magical trail grooming. And the rest of the times that I have been out on my new bike have all been on groomed trails.
Yeah.
And that's a very different experience.
Well, what is a groomed trail? Should we go over that?
Let's go over what a groomed trail is.
So we'll go into what the trail groomer itself is later, but a groomed trail is basically just a packed down trail. It's like a sled has gone through it and packed down the tread.
Yeah, somebody goes through and does all the work that typically would require like 12 passes of other bikers, just generally widening the trail so it's all packed down.
Yeah. And then the next day we went out and we tried some groomed trails.
Mm-hmm.
And how were those? How did you like them?
I liked them a lot. I mean, it's still definitely harder than riding on dirt, but I wasn't fighting to stay upright the whole time. I was going forward, and I think honestly the biggest difference is that I didn't have those awkwardly placed footprints or places of packed snow that kept trying to yank my tire to the side. So I wasn't fighting my bars the whole time. I could actually focus on going forward.
So we were in Denman's, and there were some people who were walking, and they actually punched a couple holes, and I think that you could feel a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was more rough, but it was still rideable.
Oh, yeah. It felt like riding a new trail, you know, before it gets fully smoothed out. It felt like that. But I wasn't fighting it. It just wasn't this smooth feeling of like, oh, I'm floating over the ground, which it was when we got farther back in where there hadn't been walkers.
Yeah. The way we're doing grooming around here, for those listening from not central Iowa, is we are just testing it out. And so everyone is allowed to use the trails as they normally are.
Mm-hmm.
So we get an idea of how they're going to work. But for those who have only had that kind of trail, grooming can be a lot better than what we're doing. We just have to have a special area.
To be perfectly clear, they're multi-use trails. Snow does not change that. We're probably going to end up with a trail that is snow bike only, but that's not the reality right now. So I know I would say it was still 100 times better having that groomed trail, even with the footprints, because I could ride. Like, we did our typical ride and it wasn't just a fight the whole time. So actually that was my second ride. And then the next day there are a couple days in there because you said the next day.
What about the next day?
Well, so between the Wednesday ride.
Oh, geez. What about The ride after.
The ride after that was different because it was a trail that had a lot more hills on it. Oh my goodness, that was really hard. I don't typically have trouble climbing the hills at that location, but I had also never ridden, 6 inches of snowpack on hills before, and that was so much harder.
Did you find it weird to have the bigger tires?
I didn't. Did you?
It's a little bit odd because when you're at much lower pressure, it doesn't turn the way you expect it to.
Oh, yes. I did notice that.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I had to adjust to is with that low pressure, when you lean the bike, your contact patch doesn't necessarily lean with you. And so you actually have to turn it. The physics of it are beyond the scope of this episode. They are much different.
Yeah, there were so many new things that I was focused on that honestly, turning in snow because of the way the tire interacts with the ground was the least of my concerns.
Yeah, when I rode with that group breaking brand new stuff, I had to fight my natural instinct to lean the bike to turn and just rip the handlebars the direction I wanted to go.
So one of the things that I did change about my fat bike setup is I typically run 26.5-inch bars on my mountain bike. And I had the shop cut the snow bike to 27.5-inch bars just for a little bit more stability.
And wait, what is that in centimeters? That's how all
I don't care. I talk in inches. Someone can go get a tape measure.
That's how the real people do it.
Well, they're an inch longer than my other bars. And I like that because it gives me just a little bit more stability. And I think with, needing to crank more on the bars to turn instead of leaning and having it turn that way, I think that probably made my experience a little bit easier as well.
And for those who are saying 26 inches, I just converted that in my head, and that is super tiny. Yes, we know. Oh, God, it's a whole thing.
I think I've seen they come at normally 31 inches to start with, and some places might actually be going wider than that. But yeah, the tree gates here can be brutal on wide bars.
Yeah, one specific trail where you'll lose both your hands if your bars are any wider than 27 inches.
Yeah.
27 is pushing it. Whoa, did you hear that?
I did. What is that?
Oh, that's the Gear Talk bell.
Is it Gear Talk time?
It's Gear Talk time.
I have something that I'm really, really excited about. I don't know if it technically counts as gear, but it is something that I bought, so I'm going to say that's close enough.
Hey, does it promote consumerism in
America? Woohoo, go consumerism.
Yeah, all right, good. It's good then, I'll allow it.
So I think I've talked about on a couple of episodes how I struggle with having cold feet when I am out riding. And somebody, I believe it was at one of our Wednesday night rides, just made this offhand comment of, oh yeah, I need to get some spray antiperspirant for my feet. And that is the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. I have read so many articles on what socks to wear and all that BS. It's no one ever told me there's another option. I ordered some antiperspirant. I didn't get spray. I'm feeling like I should have, but I got a roll-on one. And before I go out and ride, I put that on my feet. It hasn't been working perfectly, but I'm still dialing it in. And it definitely has made a difference. It might have been 15 minutes into a ride before that my feet would just be miserable for the rest of the time. And I've had one ride where I'm pretty sure I know exactly what I did wrong. But the rest of them, it's taking an hour before my feet are as cold as they used to be right off the bat.
I don't understand the physics of how that would help, but I apparently also don't understand how to be cold, given that my legs about got frostbite today. So I have stayed out of this one and hope that it works. And apparently it does, right?
Yeah, well, I was noticing that my feet would start off warm, and it didn't matter if I wore fat socks or thin socks or even what shoes so much.
Have you tried no shoes and no socks?
I have not.
Okay.
That's something I could probably still try. My feet would start out warm and then I'd get going and they would sweat and then the sweat would just sit there between my toes and I would literally turn into ice toes, which was absolutely horrible.
Yeah, so you got those stinky, sweaty feet, what you're telling me?
You don't know they're stinky.
Okay.
They are sweaty.
Let's not get into that.
Oh, honey.
Your hobbit feet.
They are not hobbit feet. They would be going barefoot.
But it has helped.
It has definitely helped. So if you are like me and struggling with cold feet all the time, this might be worth trying. I'm going to continue working on dialing it in. So if I come up with any magical tricks, I'll let you know.
That's good. Can I go? Can I go?
You go. You kind of have the other appendage.
Yeah. Oh, you mean my hands.
Yes.
I have the... Have we talked about the Pogi lights before?
I think we've mentioned them. I don't know how much we've gone into them.
I don't know if we've done a gear talk on them. Maybe we have. If we have, well, I have another one. Either way, it's hand warmers. The Pogi lights are bar mitts that go on the ends. The Pogi lights are this ripstop fabric, and they're made by some local Iowa people. Mm-hmm. And they are, because they're fabric, you can push them off, and they're kind of optional. They're really good for, like, 40-degree weather where you might need them, might not need them.
Yeah, a lot of bar mitts are more thicker fabric meant to be used almost in place of a mitten.
The bar mitts are made of neoprene, mm-hmm. that thick, foamy almost stuff. Mm-hmm. And those are what I have on right now because, let me check, it is like 20 degrees out. And those are so warm that I can wear thin gloves in there. And even if it's 30 degrees, 20 degrees, I mean, 30 degrees, I'm taking my gloves off because mm-hmm. they're too warm in there. And what those serve to do is they block the wind, which is a huge factor, and then also insulate. And without them, I would have to wear giant mittens everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There have been several different times when I have used either bar mitts or the Pogi lights, and they just block the wind well enough that my hands go from freezing to almost too warm. I have switch down to a thinner pair of gloves when using the Pogi lights just because they're doing such a good job.
Yeah. And the Pogi lights are really hard to get because they are almost always sold out.
Because they're real damn good.
Because they're amazing. They're locally made. And apparently the price doesn't matter on them because everybody wants them.
Yeah. I really want a pair. They've been sold out since like November.
Yeah. So bar mitts if it's really cold. Pogi lights if you need the option to be have them on or off. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have. So the second half of the show, we want to talk about grooming.
So this is going to be the Anthony show because he's actually been out and groomed several times.
Yeah. So it's all me. Bye, Jen.
Bye. No, I'm sticking around. You're not that lucky.
Trail grooming is what I wanted to talk about. Specifically how we do it and the machine that we use.
So what machine do we use?
We use a snow dog.
And what the heck is a snow dog?
It is like the butt end of a snowmobile.
You mean it's not a husky?
No, it's not an actual dog. It's a machine. It's mm-hmm. a 10 horsepower machine. It's the butt end of a snowmobile with a lawnmower handle attached to it and a 10 horsepower Briggs & Stratton motor. Is it as ghetto as it sounds? Maybe.
It looks pretty official. So does that part do the actual grooming?
No, that's kind of the head unit, the motor of it. What does the actual grooming is you stand behind it on a metal sled and drive it like a lawnmower through the snow. And if that sounds kind of awkward and like it would beat the crap out of you real quick, it's because it does. Definitely does. The metal sled that pulls or that you stand on and is pulled by the head unit, it serves to pack the snow down and do a little bit of like plowing and mm-hmm. also put that nice corduroy pattern that all the skiers love.
Yeah, it's got teeth on the end.
I don't know why I said skiers like that.
Because you're a dork.
Ghetto skiers or redneck skiers. But we had this donated to CETA, the Central Iowa Trail Association, by a very nice engineering firm in Des Moines who they wanted to see the trails groomed.
Yeah, they really like winter riding. They're like, well, we're not going to go out and groom the trails, but we want to help you guys do it.
And this is our first year doing it for Central Iowa. And right now we're doing what I would consider, or what I'm going to call a courtesy groom. Mm-hmm. Of, we're going to make these rideable quicker than normal, but we can't restrict the usage. And that's been a fun point of contention.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two sides to it. There's the people who want the pristine fat bike trails. And then there are the people who, as we said earlier, you don't need a fat bike to ride in the winter. And there are people who have been going out on their mountain bikes for the past two decades. And then we also have the walkers and the snowshoers and all of that group that, you know, they're used to being able to use the trails too. So what is it, what's it actually take to groom a trail?
What does it take? It takes just drive through it. Just drive through the dang trail. If we were to do an official fat bike trail, I think at this point we would go through with a sled. So not the groomer. The sled is it just the big old thing that just kind of goes on top of the snow, doesn't plow it as much.
The idea is that you pack the snow down before you go and put the actual official groom on it.
Yeah, the idea is that after you do that, you can come through with the sled, the metal thing. Not the sled.
After you go through with the sled, you go through with the groomer.
Yeah, the groomer's the big old metal thing. And it won't act as much of as a plow. It'll be more of just put a nice pretty shine on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that goes. But for now, we're just doing a courtesy groom with the groomer. Sorry, I'm getting confused. And it works out really well, I think, and a lot of other people think, because we don't need 50 fat bikes to go through.
Mm-hmm.
The groomer can go through one night, and then the next day, all heck breaks loose, because everyone can go out and have fun, and it takes one day instead of a week.
Yeah, it speeds it up a lot more, and since we don't always have a week that is, you know, good riding temperatures, that means that a lot more people can enjoy the trails while they're good.
Yeah, and that was Jen's experience, I think, with the ungroomed versus groomed trails, right?
Oh, it was night and day difference. The groomed was so much better. You mentioned that the next day it's ready to go. So what time are you going out and doing the grooming?
Well, I think it's best to go, or not I think, it is best to go out at night. And that way the snow is a little bit melted, but not like slushy.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the day, you know. There's a lot of nuance to this. But we go out at night and then we groom them, go through with the snow dog.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is overnight, the trails kind of solidify in that nice shape so that people can ride them the next day and not just totally mess up what's going on.
So they freeze in place at that location, and so people are floating on top of them or more likely to be on top of them than breaking through, right?
Exactly. And I think the idea is that on where they get more snow, if we were to have 3 feet of snow, they would have a 2 foot base or a 1 foot base. And then the fat bikers would be able to go on this icy crust and not break through. And that's where the fat bike only trails come in. But currently we have about an inch of base. And so it doesn't really matter too much.
Yeah, I think we might have started with 2 or 3 inches and it's been going down with warmer days. What is it like taking the snow dog through the trails at night? Like, how do you know where the trail is? Can you see it?
No, you can't see anything. It's terrible. I have not yet had to go through a completely fresh trail, which means I haven't had that experience yet. And I think it would be very challenging to go through at night with no tracks to follow because it's so easy to just say, oh, I think it goes this way or, oh, I think it goes that way, that without the tracks to follow, it would be a huge mess.
Yeah, I've been wondering about that since the first time I went and rode a groom trail. I'm like, oh, well, there's a tree here. How did you know which way to go around it?
There are some places where it'd be a lot easier because there's trees on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are some places like Denman down in Des Moines where even with the trail to follow, I would go through and be like, I don't know if this is the right track.
Yeah.
And then I would see like a feature that I recognized and be like, okay, I'm on track. But I think, honestly, if I were to go by myself through there with completely flat snow, I don't know if I could do it.
Well, and especially at night with the light, like everything looks weirder. It's like you don't have the right depth perception.
Yeah, if it was completely dark out, you would just have this little narrow light patch to go by. And that would be, yeah. Thank you to those who go out ahead of me because it would not be fun or maybe even doable without you.
Yeah, nice to have some tracks to follow.
Yeah, and we weren't sure if that was a good thing. You know, maybe having a track to follow would be bad because it would have a little indent in the middle. And it works just fine. It fills it in. Nobody knows the difference.
What are the other challenges? I'm guessing, like, you know, we were talking about bar widths. How wide is the snow dog?
Well, we mentioned that 26 inches is kind of the most, 26, 27.
27.
Yeah, that can go through Denman's. And these bars are probably 27. And the snow dog is probably 27 wide. Because there are some tree gates that it fits through with a hair clearance.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're just babying that throttle. And the other thing about some of the trails is they have trees on the outside of the turns.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is because it's like a lawnmower with the handlebar sticking back, when you go around those turns, if you cut that tree too close, you can actually hit the tree with your hand even though the groomer's on the trail.
Oh, because there's so much extended out from behind it. You have to, like, go wider, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the handlebar swings around, so you have to go in more.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing, and it's very nerve-wracking at 9 o'clock at night in pitch black by yourself. The other thing is fuel.
Ooh. Do you take extra fuel with you?
Yes. The snow dog itself has a little platform area to store extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with this device, with this machine, is that if it breaks, it ain't going anywhere.
Oh, it does not like to move on its own.
Yeah, on concrete, you can barely drag it by yourself. I mean, barely.
Mm-hmm.
So if it broke in the woods, we'd be calling for Life Flight or something to airdrop, airlift it out.
You know, the machine version of Life Flight. Someone drive a pickup truck back here, please.
Well, and that's the thing. You couldn't, most of the places you can't drive a pickup truck. I don't know what we would do.
Yeah.
You know, if we would have to fix it in place is what we would do. Along those lines is I make sure I have fuel. It doesn't use a lot of fuel, but I don't care. I did have it run out on me one time after doing about 3 hours of work.
Mm-hmm.
Fuel's important. There's a bunch of little considerations that might happen, like what happens if you break something. But at that point, I'm just calling for help and we'll figure it out.
One other thing that I honestly hadn't thought about with grooming trail, but did come up is when we get snow, you get trees that come down or branches that come down because it puts weight on it. So what's that like with the snow dog?
The first snow we had was a real wet snow.
Mm-hmm.
And so a bunch of branches came down. And if you don't have those first people go through to clear out the down trees, it can be a real time suck. Because not only are you out there grooming the trail, you're also out there clearing the trail. And if you have big branches down, you might be able to run them over, but then they become part of the tread. I ended up bringing a chainsaw with me, which was a brilliant idea when I did the heavy snow day up at Sycamore.
So does that fit on the snow dog platform as well?
Yes. With my backpack and a gas tank, I kind of had to jam it in there. And with how much it vibrated, I will have to find a better way next time.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of vibrated the fabric off.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. But without it, I don't know. The snow dog doesn't have reverse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real fun thing. If you get stuck in a corner.
Ooh. How does it handle other things? Like how are hills?
If you have anything that looks like it might be an incline, you have to get off. Otherwise, the snow dog won't pull you up.
So it goes up itself fine though, right?
Yeah, it'll pull itself up. But pulling my not significantly large butt up, it just won't do. The tread will actually sit there and just dig stuff up.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Well, it's not like the motor stalled out. The motor has enough power. It's just the tread doesn't have enough traction.
Oh, yeah, because it's on snow.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it needs to be heavier, but you just keep that in mind. It's not that bad. The turn radius is about the same as a cruise ship. Some of the turns that we make, I actually have to get off the platform area, the groomer, to turn tight enough to make it. And that's fine as well. But once you do that for an hour or two or three, it's exhausting.
Anthony came home the first time and described it as a mix of skiing and wrestling, which I had never thought of as something that you could combine.
That's exactly what it feels like. It's a good time. Do you have any other questions about it?
I think that's everything that I had on grooming. Is there anything that you experienced that you really just weren't expecting?
I about threw myself off into a tree one time.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
Because that thing can really get moving.
Do you know how fast it can go?
Too fast. Like 30 miles an hour or something. No, 30? I don't know. It goes fast enough that if you were to fall off and hit a tree without a helmet, you would be in some real danger.
Mm-hmm.
I was not going that fast. However, I was going a good clip. I mean, probably basically a sprint, essentially. I could have jumped off and maybe caught myself. But I got distracted by looking at the moon.
Nice.
I looked at the moon and I looked back and I was headed toward the tree. So I turned it hard. And when I did that, that was when things went downhill because it about threw me off the side into the tree I was trying to avoid.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's probably the only thing that I had happen that was dramatic. Mm-hmm. I had to get stuck on a couple of logs. So those logs no longer have any bark on them. It's a good bark stripper, I found out. But it's a balance between getting it unstuck and not destroying all the trail features.
Ooh, I do have a question.
What?
How do you get it to the trail?
Yeah, so we have it in a trailer. And normally we just pull the trailer there. But because of where the trailer's at and how snow works and vehicles, it's a little too dangerous to do that. There's a good chance that it would have to live at my house if we pulled it out. So what I do instead is, all of us actually who use it, we have to pull the snow dog out and put it in the back of our vehicle and then bring it over to the trail wherever we're going to use it. And that works out really well.
Yeah, Anthony's got a pickup and we have some, what do you call them? A ramp? A folding ramp?
A big old aluminum folding ramp.
That lives with the snow dog in the trailer that can be used to get it into pickups, or we've discovered that larger SUVs work okay. But yeah, that was something that we didn't really think about until the first time Anthony went to go use it and we were just going to pull the trailer and they hadn't plowed half of the streets yet.
Oh, that was always my plan, was to do it that way.
Well, I hadn't thought about it until then.
Yeah, so I have been planning and trying to get together where we were going to do it and how since maybe before November, mm-hmm. early November. And one concern was always, we need to use this after it snows. Do you know what I don't want to use after it snows?
A trailer?
The trailer. And so I've always planned to do it this way, and it worked out really well. And that's what I recommend everyone do, just from a safety aspect more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a bit of trail access, too, because you can really wedge your car into some sketchy places if you want.
Yeah, the truck with four-wheel drive probably gets out a bit easier than a itty-bitty trailer loaded down with stuff would.
Yeah, the fun thing about it being like wrestling and skiing at the same time is that you don't need a lot of warmth, per se. Like, my ski jacket is more than enough going out at night. And so it's actually a fairly warm and nice experience.
Just watch out for those trees. Don't look at the moon.
Yeah, look out for the moon and watch out for trees.
Cool. Do you have anything else that you think we should know about the snow dog?
Oh, I mean, I could talk about it with people for a long time. So if you have anything you want to know about it, let me know. It's an interesting device. It's the first time we've used it. And we're trying not to make anyone too upset. Hey, did I tell you that we're trying to let everyone keep using the trails?
We are letting everyone continue to use the trails.
Have I said that yet?
You've said that.
Should I say it again?
No, I think we're good.
Okay.
I want to take this opportunity to say thank you very, very much to Raker Roads, who donated the snow dog. Because without them, I don't think we ever would have... Well, within the next decade, I think it is very unlikely that Central Iowa would have ended up with a snow groomer. And it has been so fun getting to go out and ride groom trails. It is between that and the fat bike, it's completely changed my mind about winter riding and how fun of an experience it can be.
Oh, absolutely. And because of that, we've had people using the trail literally for weeks more than they would have otherwise. And I think you're right. Without them donating it, it may have never come up on the agenda of something that we should even try to get.
Yeah, I don't think that we get consistent enough snow that it would have been, you know, the high priority. It's been awesome getting to experience that here. And if you guys are in Central Iowa and haven't gotten out onto the trails yet, I highly recommend you go check it out.
Yeah, I don't think I certainly didn't anticipate this being as useful as it is. It clears the trail and allows more access just as much as any mower.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you guys.
Well, do you have anything else for this episode, Anthony?
No, I think that's about it. Yeah, that's all I got.
Well, until next time, you can find us on Instagram at bottom.bracket.biking. We'd love to hear any questions, feedback, suggestions. If you live in a place that does do a lot more snow grooming and have things that have worked really well, we'd love to hear that. As always, stupid jokes, funny stories. And
stupid stories, funny jokes.
That as well. And I'd usually say ride dirt, not mud, but... How about you get out and ride some snow?
Yeah, ride some frozen trails. And, Jen?
Yes?
Have I told you that we're trying to allow everyone to use the trails?
Oh my god.